Let me tell you a little bit of Paraguay to put things in context. If we take the $1.9 per day poverty measurement, which is the official measurement of the Sustainable Development Goal, and that the target for the world is to have ended extreme poverty by the year 2030, and that is measured with the number. No, I will not use the presentation. So so don't follow the those numbers. Just listen what the context. If we follow the official measurement of the Sustainable Development Goals, Paraguay have already done the job. Poverty with $1.9 per day, PPP 2011, based on the World Bank, put Paraguay, that Paraguay has a poverty rate of 1% since the year 2013. And this is something, on the one hand, is a good news, but on the other hand, is a worrisome news. Because even though with the international goal we have accomplished that target, we still have children malnutrition in Paraguay, chronic malnutrition. In 2012 was almost 11%, and last year, 2016, was 5.9%. So how come, even though having achieving the SDG 1, we still have an indicator of hunger? An indicator of hunger for children under 5 that we know it will be very costly and it will impose a heavy tax on the life of those persons. So this is something to consider, and it's an alert. So we in Paraguay, we're focusing pretty much on our national poverty lines. Our extreme poverty line with our domestically poverty line is highly correlated with children chronic malnutrition. We have in 2016 a national extreme poverty line of 6%, which is very close to the 5.9% of children malnutrition. And in 2011, the extreme poverty line with our national domestic line was 12%. So that still is a good news that the country has reduced extreme poverty by 50% in the last 5 years. From 2011, that was 12%. 2016 was 6%. But still, the job is not done. We still have 5.9% of children stunt. And if we go beyond hunger and we take literally what the SDG 1 says, that we have to eliminate all kinds of poverty, and we consider poverty beyond food, have to include shelter, clothes, health, and if we measure that's with the money amount that is needed to buy that specific basket of basic needs, we have significant poverty level. Our poverty level, overall poverty level in the country, was 99% in 2016. In 2002, 14 years back, it was exactly the double, was 58%. So in 14 years, we have reduced overall poverty by 50%. That is a good trend, but still, there's a lot of things to be done in the country. So, and having given this context, the next question is, what are the drivers of poverty reduction in Paraguay? Why we were able to reduce overall poverty by 50% in 14 years, and to reduce extreme poverty by 50% in the last 5 years. And then here I'm thankful again to FAO for this invitation, because some of the things that we take for granted in Paraguay, when we have to present to an international audience, make us think of what are the drivers behind this overall process. And I would like to share with you 5 key drivers. The first driver is good economic policies that promote economic growth and price stability, especially food price stability. Before 2002, the country were not having growth, and we were having relatively high inflation. After we reached pretty much a bottom in 2002, the country started increasing economic growth and increasing inflation targeting and price stabilization. So between 2003 and 2016, the rate of growth was 3 times more than the previous similar period, or the previous decade, and a little bit over. So when we start accelerating growth, we start reducing overall poverty. But the situation was not the same with extreme poverty. Even though we were growing, extreme poverty was quite flat and remained flat from 12% in 1997 to 12% in 2011, even though we were accelerating growth since 2003. Was very stubborn, our extreme poverty line. And since we achieved food price stabilization in 2012, extreme poverty started dropping very, very fastly. So from 12% in 2011 to 6% in 2016. So the message is very clear. Economic growth and price stability, especially food price stability, are important drivers for poverty reduction. The second element that we also take for granted within Paraguay is the policy priority. Our national development plan, which is quite aligned to the SDGs, have 3 pillars. One of them is poverty reduction. Everybody in the country judge the government by the poverty reduction. And how we achieve that? Sometimes it's easier for the government, or more comfortable for the government to be judged by something else. But there's an important thing. We measure poverty in Paraguay every year. And sometimes people could say, why do you do that? This is a waste of money. Poverty is a structural factor that from 1 year to another year usually is not statistically significant, the change. That might be true. In many years, the changes from one year to another year are not statistically significant, but every year is politically significant. So having a regular, credible annual poverty measurement give the incentive to put the poverty discussion on the table and give the incentive for government official across the board to be concerned about that. And you can see in the economic cabinet when the president of the central bank is worried about food price stability, where the Minister of Finance is asking for the numbers, how the numbers is going to be. So everybody is concerned about the evolution of poverty because people care, and people care because they can be present year over year. So it is politically significant and helps this measurement help to manage this priority and put the poverty in a top priority in the public agenda. Another element that we were not discussing so much because it's a structural factor, but it's important to put in context of the as a driver, is the accelerated urbanization process that the country is going on, is undertaking. Population growth in urban areas in the last decade was 2.5% annually, and population growth in rural areas was only 0.6% annually. So we have more than four times the increase, the rate of growth of population in urban areas in comparison to the rural one. And we have significant gaps. In 2016, the probability of being poor in the rural area was 40%. 40% was the poverty rate. And in the urban area was almost half, 22%. So just by this process of migration is also, that is a contributing factor. And the other two elements are pretty much related to policy design. One is like to have a program that articulate in the best possible manner several specific social programs in three areas. One is to protect against destitution. The second is to provide opportunity for human capital accumulation and access to productive jobs. And the third is managing risk for coping against adverse shocks. So this and the fifth, which is quite related to the fourth, is the increase of the efficiency in the delivery of goods and services to the poor and vulnerable population. So between these two elements, we organize our program, our national program, in a given context, in a context of good economic policy, of improved economic policy, of urbanization, and top policy priority. And we organize in these two last elements, a structure, and then we can show one graph. With the Sembrando Opportunities Framework, just keep moving, and here. So the last two elements, or probably we can even feed the five elements, are in those in this graph. First, we have a framework of policy that is relied on intersector partnership, co-production between the public and private sector and within the public and public agencies. So here we can fit the good economic management, which is a co-production between several public institutions, but we also could fit the policy priority, which is a private-public agreement of what is important for the country. And we can also fit PPPs for poverty reduction between public and private. Then the increasing efficiency is done using the social capital at the local level. So the territorial approach, working together with civil society, private sector, and local governments is important, and customize the approach target to the constraints and opportunity for specific regions. Then we may be wrong in a prior of the public policy, but if we have good monitoring system, we will detect our error and we will converge to a better policy. So having improved and state-of-the-art monitoring system is quite important. And we have invest in technology to track on real time some of the social worker and agricultural extensionists. We have a sophisticated scorecard that is used by the president and also is publicly available to all citizenship. And so it's a framework of economic policy. And then within those framework, we were focusing on the on the last years to achieve three important transformations. First, to identify more precise who the poor are, who the extreme poor, the moderate poor, and the vulnerable, where they are, what they are doing, in order to include them, to make sure we include them, how Director General said, in the budget. And then we know that it's not only a matter of money, especially for the extreme poor. The extreme poor is unconnected for what's going on in the economy and sometimes in society. They have been relegated for so many years that sometimes they don't believe things could be different. So for that particular segment, if we want to include, we need to customize the support on the family needs. They need coaching, they need motivation, they need training in soft skills, they need training on the basic things for making a good production. So that's the other element, to have a customized family support based on everyone's needs. For the extreme poor, should be different. For the moderate poor, could be different. And for the vulnerable, could be different. And then, in Paraguay, we have measured that what really makes a difference for poverty reduction is increasing labor income. So increasing the payments that families and persons, poor and vulnerable persons receive for their labor, that is the explained three quarters of poverty reduction. And if we want to increase productivity, we need somehow to connect them to efficient, competitive, and sustainable value change. And who has a comparative advantage for leading that value change? Not the government, probably not the poor and vulnerable. So here is what we need to bring the private sector and to work together for them to lead sustainable value change. And we were working on those areas. Next. And in the last years, we were putting together for the extreme poverty this roadmap. Once we select the beneficiaries, when we did identify that they are in extreme poverty, we start training them in life skills, in motivation, soft skills, how to negotiate, how to participate. We were providing consumption support with the conditional cash transfer, with the non-contributory pension for the elderly. We were training them in financial inclusion, technical training. We were make sure that all social services get connected to their needs. And then when they have prepared their business plan, which is a very simple business plan, we transfer some seed money and they start producing. And the seed money is really, we were talking about 450 euros as a transfer for them to buy an asset. And to our surprise, after a few months, they were earning 9% per month on that investment. Still, we are talking about 40 euros per month. But in relative terms, this is a huge return. And they start marketing their excess production into town. And now we are in a process. We have done the pilot, and we are in a process to scale up that significantly so the private sector who were accompanying those pilots could kick in and connect them in several value chains that has been identified with the private sector, but need this previous sort of investment. So this is what we are doing in Paraguay. We still have a significant way to go, but we believe that going deeper in those five areas on improving economic policy, keep poverty reduction at the top priority, being more strategic in the urbanization process and integrating social and economic inclusion policies and improving efficiency through better work with civil society, with local government, with improving transparency and using technology will take us where we need to be. And we are very glad that we are working with FAO in almost the five elements. So FAO is key in improving a smart climate agriculture that is crucial for having food price stability, for mitigating risk. Also, the poverty, the hunger map is a way of measurement and create synergy with our poverty measurement. We are working with FAO in improving local governance that will help to manage the urbanization process. We are working in building capacity to coordinate across sector and to improve efficiency in the delivery of goods and service to the poor. Thank you very much to FAO, and thank you very much to you.